What is love? Okay. Actually, I think we sense true love tonight as we were worshiping the Lord and His presence came. That's love. And we can learn so much. Thanks, Conrad. Earlier this week, I picked up this video clip. I think it was Monday already. You know, I like to prepare my message through the week. I need to think about it and get it ready. Because if I get to Friday and there's nothing, then I'm in trouble. Okay, then I'm not going to sleep on Friday night, nor definitely not on Saturday night. And I picked up this video clip titled, What is Love? And I listened to it. And as you listen to it, I don't know if you feel the same, but I couldn't believe the different ideas people have of what is love. If I were to come to one of you right now and say, what is love? Come on, let's test it. Kirsty, what's love? Now you need to speak loud. What is love? Oh, sorry, you're not going to be able to whisper it, are you? I know.
I'm
not talking about love. No, I'm talking about, what is love?
I think that love is putting others before yourself.
It's a good answer. Is there anybody else who wants to put up their hand and volunteer? What is love? Oh, you can see it's the young girls, eh? You're sitting too close to this boy. Move away then. I'm just joking.
I think love is selfless and unjudging, patient.
Thanks, Dace. Do you want to add to it? Okay. All right. So, clearly the people in this church have got a better idea. Anybody else? Lindsay. Oh, wait.
It's one.
No.
I think love is a decision, not just an emotion.
Okay. Don Francisco sings a song. Love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. So what is love? But what I found quite astounding about this video, and hence it got me into a whole, I spent the week focusing on love, and I hope I've approached this slightly differently. But I was shocked because, to me, some of these people had no clue what love is. And then I asked myself the question, what is love? And I had to think quite hard about it myself. So let's quickly watch this video clip and see, what does it say? What is love? I'm sorry about the noise. Yeah, there we go.
Love.
Love. Oh my goodness.
That means you love somebody.
I think love is... love is a way... Actually, I'm not really sure how to answer this question.
It's like, it's complicated. Love is a complicated thing.
Well, one of the definitions is that condition or state where the happiness of another is essential to one's own.
I think love is just a form of God.
Well, if you're talking family-wise, it means everything. But if you're talking, like marriage, I mean, you can be single, and that's kind of what I want to do.
Wow, love is deep. Oh, you know, you're asking the wrong age group, because the first thing I want to do is say love means never having to say you're sorry.
Love means never having to say you're sorry. But I don't believe that at all, because I feel like you say you're sorry a lot.
Love, to me, is the greatest marketing campaign ever invented.
Love for me is being 100% vulnerable and all the way in, you know.
You can love yourself first. Because once you learn how to love yourself, you can love anything in this world.
Someone that loves you because you're you.
Love means accepting people the way they are.
It has to be a two-way street. It can't just be, you know, I'm accepting you, you gotta accept me too.
I think that it's... being able to do something for somebody else that maybe you wouldn't normally do or maybe you wouldn't want to do, but you do it anyway because it's something that they want to do. Even if you, like, hate it so much, you just would do anything because you want to be with them.
Love is a powerful thing.
And it makes you do the things you never thought you could do. And I think it just, it makes life worth living.
Everything else becomes nothing, okay? All that matters is that the whole two hearts, you know, they expand to that infinity.
It means, in a funny way, freedom, because you're free to feel so many feelings so deeply.
Love to me is something you do on a day-to-day basis. And so you can hold affection and you can hold nostalgia, but I think love is active.
I always say I'd rather love someone than be in love with someone, because being in love with someone implies that you can fall out of it.
If you're really close to your family, I consider that love, right? So any other person, friend or family or love interest, if you see them as your family, then that's love.
Love means to me a big old kiss on your mouth, and you're not against it at all.
I'm married 55 years. Our job in life, the two of us, is to look after each other and see to it that we're our best selves, so to speak. So I try to help her be her best self, and she tries to help me, and to me, that's love. You know, I hope to do that as long as I can stay awake.
It's like something you can dance about, or something you can sing about, or something you can build a building about, but I don't know. I don't really feel like words suffice when it comes to that.
Love means...
I don't know, it's pretty great. I guess you can't describe it.
Really?
Love me a lot.
So that game.
So what does love mean to you tonight? Thank you, Glenn. Glenn showed us what love means because I just chucked him in the deep end. But that's love. It's quite interesting, isn't it? And why would I mean, we've all read the Bible. We all know the Bible says God is love. We know we've read 1 Corinthians 13. So why would I need to preach on it? Well, the reason I believe it's important to preach about love or speak about love is because that is one of the key aspects of the church and of this church. We want love to emanate through this church, through this congregation, through our lives. How will we reach the city for Christ if we don't have love, if we don't know what it means? So tonight, like I said, I'm going to approach it slightly differently. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. We are going to study what love means, so hopefully you got your Bible, yeah? And we're not going to talk about the love between a couple, okay? Eros love. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the love of the Father towards us, and we're going to talk about brotherly love, the love that we should be showing and reflecting in and through our lives. And as I studied the Word, and as I pulled these scriptures out, and what I'm going to point out to you, I just absolutely was blessed by it. So let's see, did you notice that some of them kind of, they didn't even know how to describe love. They just, we know what love is, but we don't know how to describe it. Some of them were quite marveled about it. Love. Well, you know, that's deep. And it is deep. Okay, let's go along. This is what the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of love is. Shirley and Pastor Pat will know what that dictionary is all about. It's the dictionary on the net that students like to use to define things. At least I like to use it. I think Pastor Pat had enough of it after a while. Said, enough of that. Leave that out of your sons. It means strong affection for another arising out of kinship, family, or personal ties, like the maternal love for a child. It can be an attraction based on sexual desire, affection, and tenderness felt by lovers. It could be an infection infection, affection. Sometimes it causes, it could be an, sorry, an affection based on admiration, benevolence, or common interests, so like I love my old schoolmates. It could be the object of attachment. Like, let me use an example. I love riding my bicycle. You know, could be something like that. Or it could be something unselfish. An unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another, such as the fatherly love that we have from Father God, brotherly concerns for others, and our own adoration of God. And this is the one I really want to focus on. The unselfish, loyal, benevolent concern for the good of another. As we know, the Bible speaks of three different kinds of love. The first one I spoke about was eros, which we're going to just set aside. We're going to talk about the agape love. This is the God kind of love. This agape love is something which is of and is from God. It's of God and it also comes from God. And his whole nature is love. I said it earlier on, 1 John 4 verse 8. God is love. But God doesn't merely love. He doesn't just love. He is love itself. Isn't that amazing? God is love, but he doesn't just merely love. What emanates out of God who is love, is love. Does that make sense to you? Everything that is love, and everything that comes forth from God, is love. And then the other love, the other word, Greek word for love is phileo, which means fervent love for another person. That's brotherly love. There was even a city that was named after it called Philadelphia. And it means the city of brotherly love. So I want to haul out a few pointers about, I can never cover the whole aspect of love. I think it's too broad. But I want to haul out a few pointers about love tonight. And to concrete them in, a lot of this you'll see coming through in the daily encouragements through the next week. One came out on Friday. What is the measure of love? What is the standard by which we measure love? As Christians, what is our standard against which we can measure and say, is my love in line with agape or phileo type of love? And the standard is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. But the standard comes in the first sentence. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. And if I want to measure the level of love, my love barometer, I can measure it against my willingness to give. And now, think about that a little bit. Am I willing to make a sacrifice on behalf of somebody else? That is unselfish love. That love doesn't care about me. God took his most precious possession, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, and he gave him. He tested Abraham. He said, take your only son and sacrifice him. It was a foreshadowing of him giving his own son on the cross. But Abraham went and he said, God, I love you. Shirley spoke about it this morning. We need to spend time with God. He's got to take top priority. We need to spend time listening to him. If we say we love him, but we're not willing to hear what he's got to say, do we really love? Am I willing to give of my time to spend time listening to God? Or am I not? Am I only willing to give of my time to give him my list of requirements? And I personally don't have an issue with that because David wrote it. He said, in the morning, I will make my requests to you. So it's quite okay for us to make requests to God. Don't feel bad if you're asking God for things. But don't let it begin and end there. That is where the problem comes. If that is where it begins and ends, then we're falling short. Are you with me? So, are we willing to make sacrifices like God made to show love for others? Does our love manifest towards other people with an attitude of giving? And are there priorities in our lives which get in the way of us being able to love? Is there stuff in my life that prevents me from being able to walk in brotherly love? Now, there's all sorts of things that can get in the way. It could be, and if you look at a lot of those things, They're all about me, myself, and I. So let's say there's somebody that needs, that they've got a dire spiritual need. They need somebody to put their arm around them, love them, and encourage them in the Word. But I'm so busy, and I'll use myself as an example, riding my bicycle, okay, that I would choose riding my bicycle rather than going in and loving that person and showing them the love of Christ. Where does my love come up in the barometer, the spiritual barometer? God so loved that He gave. He wasn't so busy creating worlds and creating all this beauty and looking at people and looking for sin. No. He was so busy loving us that He took of His time to make a plan for our salvation. And He took the very best of what He had and He gave it. Isn't that amazing? There's other examples. Are we willing to give of our finances to somebody else? We get so self-centered and self-focused that all we can see is our own need. And meanwhile, Paul writes, John writes, 1 John, he writes, if you have earthly means and you see your brother, and this is my paraphrase, who has need, and you don't help them, you don't know God. So that's another form of giving. I give financially, I give of my time, I give of my love to people. That way, I'm measuring up with God's barometer of how do I show love? By giving. It's not all about money. It's about what am I willing to give to show that love, whether it's brotherly love, love for the Father. It makes no difference. We measure it against the barometer of for God so loved that He gave. Secondly, where does love come from? Well, you can probably answer that. 1 John 4 verse 7 in the Amplified Version. If you've got your Bible, yeah, you can go through this with me. It says this, beloved, let us love one another. For love is, it springs from God. And he who loves his fellow men is begotten or born of God. And is coming progressively to know and understand God. To perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of Him. So to summarize that mouthful, we are encouraged by John to love one another. And he says, for love, where does it come from? It comes from God. It springs from God. And he who loves other people, his fellow man, is born of God. And I thought about that a little bit. I said, but hang on, where does being born again fit in that? But I believe what he's saying there is, when you love your brother and your sister, you are showing the characteristics of your Father in heaven. And it takes Christ in me to enable me to show that love genuinely and truly. People can do great charitable acts. I mean, there's a great Muslim organization called Gift of the Givers. They do great things. You can't deny it. But do they know the love of Christ in them? Are they able to love to that degree with the God type of love? Or is it more a benevolent type of love? Does that gel with you? You get more when you've got God in you. Love comes from God. And it says, that person who loves is growing. They're begotten of God and are becoming progressively. So we grow to know and understand God and get a better and clearer knowledge of Him. So as I walk in love and as I show love, effectively I'm progressing in my knowledge and understanding of who God is. And isn't that a means of worshiping God? Always when I lecture in the Bible school, I say, what is the highest form of worship? The highest form of worship is studying God's Word. And why is it the highest form of worship? Because what you're doing is you're saying, I want to get to know God better. That's why I'm studying His Word. But as we love more and more, we grow progressively. It's another form of worship. It's getting to know God more. Isn't that weird? It's strange, isn't it? As I love more, I get to know God more. Why? Because the more I love, the more I become like my Father, who is love. So it makes sense. The deeper our relationship with God, the more we are able to walk in love. The more I know love, the more I can love. And the more I love, isn't this amazing? So the deeper my relationship with God, the more I can love. The more I love, the more I'm able to know and understand God. So it's like a perpetual circle. The more I love, the more I know God. The deeper my relationship with God, the more I'm able to love. So if you want to learn to love more, spend time with the Lord. Spend time with Him. So that is where love comes from. Now, what enables love? What enables Christian love? See, I told you I was going to tether to you in a different way. What enables love? What is going to help me to be able to love? I know God is love, and love comes from Him. But what is going to enable me to take that love that I've got from Him and express it towards somebody else? I found this very interesting. It comes from John. You see, John was the apostle of love. John 13, verse 35, he said, "By this will all men know, will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In other words, if we want to reach the city and those that God is in the city, they need to know that we are His disciples. Because they're not going to follow us if they think we're leading them down the garden path. Amen? So if we come there and we look like a bunch of Satanists, do you think they're going to follow us? No. If we come there and we look like a bunch of frauds, do you think they're going to follow us? No. But when they see love, they will know who we are. And they'll know whose we belong to. But it's got to be genuine love. And that's what this message is all about. So what enables us to love in that way so that when they see us, they'll know we are disciples of Christ? Well, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, and I'm reading again from the Amplified Version, but you can read it in any version. These three pointers which enable Christian love. And Paul is speaking about the instruction they gave, that he gave. And he was talking to Timothy. And he's telling him what their purpose was. He says, "Whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love." The object and the purpose of our instruction is that you love. That's what he was saying. This is the object and purpose of why we've been teaching you that you love. Remember, Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love your father and love your neighbor as yourself. And then it was even summarized more. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Because as I do that, I shall love to God. So, he says, what we were teaching, the reason we were teaching you is love. That's the point of it all. And it says this, here are the three pointers. Which comes from, or which is enabled by a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere, unfeigned faith. Isn't that interesting? You never thought that love has got anything to do with that, did you? Love comes from, or is enabled by, a pure heart, rather than a heart full of sinful desires. What is my intention of standing here? Is it so that I can have you looking at me and saying, oh, he's preaching? Okay. Or is my motive pure? Is my motive to worship God, to do what He's called me to do, and to build you up in the faith? Is my motive pure? Or is it not pure? One with sinful desire. So I show you love, I show my wife love, so that she'll give me something to eat tomorrow night. Or I befriend somebody and show them love because they've got money. Are my motives pure? No. Okay. If I befriend somebody that's not so easy to befriend because of the love of Christ that dwells in me, and that's just emanating out of me, I'm befriending them out of a pure heart. And the second point is out of a good or a clear conscience, which is the opposite to a conscience that is racked by guilt. Because you see, when we do things out of the wrong motives, you know what the first thing is that comes? Guilt. And the enemy will help you with that one. It might not even be the prompting and conviction of the Holy Spirit. The enemy will hit you with it because he wants to bring you down. So we show love out of a good or a clear conscience. I know my conscience is clear and my heart is pure that the act of love that I am performing towards you is right. It's the God kind of love. Does that make sense? And then the third point is out of a sincere faith. A sincere faith. Faith that is genuine and not counterfeit. So, I'm going to tell you, church, and there's only a few of us here tonight, but in the church, not everybody is who they seem. Not everybody lives the good and holy and pure life that they'd like you to believe they live in. And not everybody's love is genuine. And I'm not saying that to pick on the church. It's the truth. Jesus spoke about the wheat and the tares that go together, they look together, but they're very different. One's a weed, one is the right stuff. One's going to get cast in the fire, one is going to be the fruit of the harvest, bear fruit for the harvest. Amen? So there are people in our midst sometimes that don't understand that. But he's talking about love that comes from a sincere faith, a real faith, out of a real relationship with Jesus. The only way we can have real love, real Christian love, is if we have a real faith. And sometimes it takes that faith to love. Sometimes we love not because we want to, not because we feel like it's like what Lindsay says, it's an act of the will. And sometimes I love because I know that that's what my Father wants me to do, not because it's the easiest thing for me to do. Amen. So where does love, what enables love? A pure heart, a good or a clear conscience, and sincere faith. And it's not me saying that. This is what 1 Timothy 1 verse 5 says this. So therefore what we must do is we must ask God to grant us these three attributes in our lives so that we may display not a fake Christian love. Not, I call it, it's like a trickly, sweet, horrible thing. That's just horrible. We want to show genuine Christian love. That's something that's not horrible. It's great. It's wonderful. It's deep. Feels, it cares, and it results in change. We will impact the city if we learn to love like that. I want to tell you the characteristics of real Christian love. One of the very first characteristics of real Christian love, and of saying it real, not fake love, real love. Love forgives, and we've heard this 100 times. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says this, out of the Amplified again. And I deliberately chose the Amplified because it amplifies it, the meaning. Above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. That talks about a God type of love. Intense love and unfailing love. A love that doesn't give up. A love that is so intense that it drives you. That love is the love that drove Jesus to the cross. That love was the love that drove the Father to sending His Son to earth for you and me. That love is the love that will change people's lives. It continues to say, for love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. You know, when people hurt or offend us, it's sometimes very hard to forgive. Who's experienced that? Let's see a show of hands. Yeah, everybody should put up their hands. But yet God encourages us to have this intense and unfailing love for one another, and to forgive. It's all there in one string. It's linked together. It doesn't say forgive. It says have an intense, unfailing love and forgive, because love covers a multitude of sins. Now think about that. Somebody sins against you once, I'll forgive you. They sin against you twice, oh, I'll forgive you. They sin against you the third time, twice bitten, three times shy. Amen? And that's the world that we live in. Sometimes they won't even give you one chance. That's it. You're just the enemy. But love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus said, when he was asked, how many times do we forget? He said, 70 times 7. That's, how many times is that? 490 times. That's for one sin. Okay? One repeated sin. 490 times. So now sin against you in another way, I'll start at one again. But we so easily, and that's why I said, love doesn't give up. But we too easily turn our backs and give up on people and write them off. And I'm using that word because how many people have heard, yeah, sitting here tonight, I've written that person off. I mean, that's not love. That's not the God type of love. Love forgives. Love forgives a multitude of sins and offenses. We need to ask the Lord to help us. You see, we can't do this in our own strength. The only way we can do this is when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. We can be born again, but unless we have the empowering help of the Holy Spirit, we can't love with that kind of love. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to have real love like that, that forgives a multitude of sins. And you know what? If we're not willing to do it, we are such hypocrites. You know that. Why do I say that? Think about the number of times you have sinned against Father God. You can count them. Do you think there's a multitude of sins in your life that God has forgiven you for? A multitude? If you don't, I'm going to say you're a self-righteous hypocrite. It's the truth. So, if God has forgiven my multitude of sins, and I know there's a multitude, praise you, Lord, for your grace. Who am I after somebody is, that's it, I'll forgive them, but I'm not going near that person anymore. Who am I to do that? And that spoke to me. But I trust that it's speaking to you tonight as well. God has forgiven our multitude of sins. Therefore, if we are His children, we've got to forgive everybody else's multitude of sins against us. Secondly, so love forgives. That's a characteristic of Christian love, real Christian love. Secondly, love does the unexpected. Love does the unexpected. Luke 6 verse 35, and this is from the New Living. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them, lend to your enemies. That's kind of unexpected, isn't it? I can still understand this, love your enemies. It's going to be kind of tough. Do good to them. Don't know if I want to like that one. Lend to them without expecting to be... Lend to my enemy and he mustn't pay me back. Aish. Who wrote this stuff? God wrote it. And he didn't put it there just for decoration because he had needed some words to fill the Bible. He put it there because we need to follow. But you see, he didn't write and say, well, just do it. He said, then your reward from heaven will be very great. You see, so with God, it's like we're just putting a deposit in our heavenly bank and we're going to get massive, massive, massive growth on our investment. And one day in heaven, we're going to go there and there's going to be a reward that is very great. Okay, so I'm putting in my little peanut and I'm going to get like cases, what are those? Trommels full of gold coins. Amen? Like I found pirate's treasure from my one little peanut that I threw into the sea. Okay? That is what God says. Then your reward in heaven will be very great and you will be truly acting as children of the Most High. Who wants to act like children of God? When I show that kind of love, I'm acting as a child of the Most High. For He is kind. Now listen to this. To those who are unthankful and wicked. How hard is it to be kind to somebody who's ungrateful and wicked? And people are like that. Do something nice. Ugh. They forget about it in 2 seconds flat. Give them a finger, they take the whole arm and the other arm and the leg. And it's true. And God says we need to love those people and keep loving them and forgiving them and being kind to them and love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. We can't even lend to each other without expecting to be repaid. But God says, you're thinking all wrong. When you start doing these things, you will have a very great reward in heaven. You will have a very great reward in heaven. And you'll be acting like my children. If we're going to reach the city, it's going to cost. It's going to cost a little bit. We're going to have to address those ingrained things in our nature. I said, yeah, it's almost ingrained into our character to love those who love us, but to hate our enemies. Real love, however, does the unexpected. Real love loves our enemies. Real love prompts us to do good to those who don't do good to us. Real love allows us to cancel people's debts, even for people that we don't like. Real love means that we remain kind, even to those who are ungrateful and unthankful. So if I've ever been ungrateful and unthankful for anything you've done for me, I'm sorry, but you still have to love me. Amen. This is so contrary to the way the world works, isn't it? So when people start saying, what is love? The Bible's very clear. It tells us what love is. And then, of course, I'm going to go there. Remember those old cartoons years ago? Love is dot, dot, dot. And then the cartoon. And it talked about doing this and that and sweet little thing. You know? Love is putting away your wife's slippers when she's left him 500 times in the bathroom. Love is putting up with your husband when he irritates you. Right. I'm not talking about anybody in this church tonight. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 47, we know what it. Love is, we can almost quote it. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, nor boastful, nor proud, or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. Shoo, anal. It's not irritable, anal. It keeps no record of being wronged, anal. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Remember what we said earlier on. Real love doesn't give up, doesn't write people off. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. As we consider that description of love, which we all know so well, about what real love is, it becomes clear that real love is not really evident in the society we live in. If you think about that, and you think about irritability, think about yourself in your own car driving to work. I get irritable. I do. I say, ach, tochie poppy. Okay? It's the truth. I even do it at home sometimes. People are impatient, they're unkind, they're rude, and they insist on their own will in their own way. I've done it, lots. They are proud, they boast, they're jealous. These are common traits. Wrongs are remembered and often revenge is sought rather than reconciled. I can't tell you how many people I've had to encourage and say, vengeance is God's, not ours. So leave that person in the Lord's hands. In their time, they carry on doing what they're doing. God will execute vengeance. It's not your job, nor is it my job, to execute vengeance. Injustice and unfairness. I mean, it's all around us. Go to the workplace. See how people are treated unjustly and unfairly. All over the place. And it's every man for themselves. That's the world we live in. I often speak about the corporate world. It really, they eat you up and they spit you out and they couldn't give a hoot about you. That's the corporate world. And you know what? Sadly, it's people doing that to people. Amen? So somebody's boss does it to their employee. But their boss will do it to them just as quickly and just as easily. At the end of the day, when you're laying in a hospital after having had a nervous breakdown, they probably won't even visit you. And then they'll board you because now you have no value to them anymore. You won't even get paid properly anymore. That is the world that we live in. It's a very sad indictment. But you and I can change that. We can make a difference as we ask God to allow those characters. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not irritable. Love doesn't keep a record of harms. Love doesn't look for revenge. As we ask God to allow those characteristics to flow through us. When we walk, and they will know us as God's disciples because of our love. When those characteristics start, I drank too much this afternoon. When they start shining through our lives, people will stand up and take notice, I promise you. But that's got to be genuine. Because if it's not genuine, you're going nowhere. You're heading up a dead-end street. We headed up a street like that yesterday. It wasn't dead-end, but we felt dead at the end of the street because it was like this on our bicycles. Okay. What happens if we do things that are not motivated by love? And we know that it comes out of 1 Corinthians 2. It says, 1 Corinthians 13 to 1 to 3. And I'm almost done here. It says, if I could speak with all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love one another. In other words, if I can speak in tongues, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So I could even be martyred. But if it wasn't motivated by love, I've achieved zip. I've just managed to have myself tortured and killed. So without love, anything we say is just a load of noise. So if I speak to you and my motivation isn't love, I'm just making a noise. Without love, I can prophesy and have all sorts of spiritual wisdom and knowledge and even mountain-moving faith. And it means zip. Without love, I can give away every cent that I own. I could even die, and it would mean nothing. In 1 John 1, verse 18 to 19, says this, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." In other words, love needs to be turned into actions. God loved so much that He gave. There was an action. "Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God." So when I'm motivated by love, one day when the judgment comes, I can stand confidently before the Lord because I know what my motive was. And of course, 1 John 4 verse 8 says, "He doesn't love, doesn't know God." Isn't that a scary thought? So therefore, we need to pray today that the love of Christ will permeate our lives, being evident in everything we do, in all of our motives. And this will show that we are children of God, and it will give us confidence to come into His presence. So how do I want to wrap up this? Glenn sent me something because I was writing to him about this love. He has a quote from Joyce Myers in her book, New Day, New You. And it speaks about love being our first priority. It says this, I'm going to read straight from what Glenn sent me. "Where does love fit into your list of priorities? Jesus said, 'A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another.' That was the commandment He gave. 'As I have loved you.' It seems to me that Jesus was saying love is the main thing on which we should concentrate." Think about it. A new commandment. This is the new commandment. Remember I spoke a couple of weeks about freedom from the law. We directed to a new commandment. Jesus was saying that love is the main thing on which we should concentrate. The Apostle Paul states that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. Love should be number one on our spiritual priority list. We should study love, pray about love, and develop the fruit of love by practicing loving others. God is love, so when we walk in His love, we abide in Him. Because we walk in God's love by receiving and expressing it, we should not deceive ourselves into thinking we can love God while we hate other people." And then she tells something personal. She says, "It took me about 45 years to realize that my priorities were mixed up and that I was not making love the main thing in my life. The commitment to learn how to walk in love has been the single best decision I've ever made as a Christian." And I think she carries a little bit of weight spiritually. The best decision she ever made was to learn how to walk in love as a Christian. And I want to say to you, church, the best decision you and I can ever make as Christians is to ask God to help us to walk in the kind of love that we heard about tonight. We all know about love. We've read about it. But love motivates us. Love enables us through faith, through a pure heart. What was the third one? A genuine faith, a pure heart, and sincere motives. Let us ask God to motivate us in love, and let us start walking in that love. And we will soon see the impact it has in the world out there, but it will also bless us and change our lives and have an impact in heaven as we build up treasure and we are able to go and stand confidently before our Father. Let's stand together. Our Father, we thank You that we come to You tonight. We thank You for this amazing word, four-letter word called love. It's very different from the world's four-letter word. It's totally different from that. And Father, it's something very special. People can't even describe it properly, this word love. But You loved us so much that You gave. And Lord, our prayer tonight is that You will bring us into such an adventure of discovering what true love is, to love our neighbor, to sacrificially love, the true agape love and the phileo love that is spoken about in the Word of God. Let it so permeate our lives that we start shining brightly, and anybody who sees us in everything we do, whether it be at home, in the car, in the shop, at work, at the doctors, with our family, in the middle of an argument, that the love of Christ will shine through our lives and they'll know we are Your disciples. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.